Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bij Centraal Beheer gaan we net een stap verder voor onze klanten. Daarom geven we ze 10 seconden van onze zendtijd om hun auto te verkopen.
Dames en heren, 18.000 kilometers heeft mijn Mazda 6 GTM uit 2014 gereden. Hij is rood metallic, de kleur van de liefde. Kijk op Facebookpagina Mazda 6 te koop.
Dankjewel. Wil je deze of een andere auto kopen? Kies dan ook voor de klantvriendelijkste verzekeraar. Ga naar centraalbeheer.nl/auto.
This is the Hip Hop Save My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Okay, so this is episode 2 of Hip Hop Save My Life, the podcast. I'm here with Rue Maj.
How do?
How you doing?
I said, how do?
Oh, right. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
This is volume 2 of, we wanted to sort of build up on the momentum. We wanted to make this a regular thing. So we're thinking every 6 or 7 months, we're going to put out another episode and really just sort of build up on that heat. Do you know what I mean? Some people go weekly. What I feel with that is, one, that takes a lot of work, and two, you're sort of giving people too much. So what I think is, I think you do it rarely and also regularly, so people don't know when to expect the next one, do you know what I mean? And I think that means that people that listen to it are real fans.
Mm. And also it helps because we've already run out of guests.
Correct, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. So
there's only so many comedians.
So we've got Mark Smith. Look out for Mark Smith back on the next one. He's gonna be on episode 3. So look out for that. Hopefully he's listening to some music.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
I'm very honoured. Well, honoured is too strong a use of the word. I'm delighted to have Joe Jacobs. Joe.
Hello.
Joe, can you introduce yourself to our listener?
So I'm Joe Jacobs.
What are you about?
Hi, listen, I'm Joe Jacobs. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I'm also a rapist as well. I've been rapping for since I put my first album out in 2008.
Right.
And then I kind of made the switch to stand-up comedy, having garnered a few albums that were both critical and commercial failures.
Mm.
What were they called?
My first one was called Mental Disorder back in 2008, which was basically kind of, I'd say, about a 60-minute-long apology for rapping.
Right.
Kind of had all the hip-hop tropes, but turned on its head. So instead of, like, talking about getting all the bitches, it was talking about being relegated to the friend zone immediately. I made a song about
getting all the guys.
Yeah, that would be the opposite, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would actually be the opposite, really.
I should state that's not what the song is about.
Okay.
I mean, it's up for... It's
so
up
when
for
you said you were turning it upside on its head,
yeah,
you were sort of turning it sideways, weren't you?
Sideways, yeah, not just
you're turning the trope sideways. So was it always funny?
Well, I mean, I like to keep it serious, but, you know, I have some comical elements, for sure. There was another tune called Blap, which is, instead of, like, the token gun rhythm,
yeah.
In this case, it was just about driving through the suburbs with a Super Soaker loaded with my own urine.
Was I chilling with a group of tokers who made a recent purchase of some Super Soakers, and suddenly I had an idea. Take a leak in the tanks, the end result is quite clear. So we hopped in my man's Nova, looking for recipients, cruising all over. Soon enough I saw a traffic warden on his runs, pulled up alongside him with a couple of guns.
Nice.
Which was,
have you done that?
We did for the shoot, yeah.
Did you actually use urine?
There was some.
So you did use urine. And how did you get the urine into the Super Soaker? Did you decant it first and then pour in, or did you piss straight into the Super Soaker?
I mean, there was a bit of water in there, but we wanted it to be an accurate depiction of.
Right. What so we're you pissed
about.
Into the directly into the Super Soaker.
I mean, have you ever seen the ends of one?
No. Yeah. Oh, I have when I was a kid, but I didn't measure it against my winkies. I don't know what...
Your winkies?
Old Two Dick Rom. That's what they call me. That's my nickname. But Joe, you did a few hip-hop albums. What have you been up to recently? Because I saw... Well, two things I've watched of yours recently. The one is the rapping to comedy in one take. This is where you're like walking along the street.
That's right. Yeah,
you're doing a track and then you go straight into. Is it the Comedy Cafe?
No, it was. It's an interesting story of that. No promoter, obviously, in their right mind would wanna let me kind of fuck up their night by saying, "Can I just have everyone wait for me for 2 minutes while I do a little thing, a little rap diddly outside?" So, luckily, the person that agreed to do it very kindly did. But unfortunately for me, I would have liked it to have been at a kind of hip hoppy esque comedy club,
right?
Like, I don't know, like the Leng Factory or something like that, a cool name. But in this case, where we shot was actually an event called Hooray Cabaret. And paper dress vintage, so already.
Okay, so that's a problem, isn't it?
There's already you know cracks appearing in what happened, and also I did do it in one take, but what wasn't shown on camera was we did try once before, and I lasted about 60 seconds, and then there was a sound issue, so we had to run back, and I'm incredibly unfit man, and I ran back, and then had to kind of immediately get back into the filming, which is why if you look at the footage, I kind of resemble a single-celled amoeba struggling for survival. I'm about to have a heart attack, really.
Right.
And then there's a moment when I walk into the venue, I kind of look at the camera and realise I've got to try and entertain people with stand-up comedy for 10 minutes. So it was
could they ordeal. Hear your track outside? Or
no, no, they no. Just, all they knew was...
fed in or whatever. No, no, know
no.
You were
no one knew anything. All they knew was I was appearing. And because we had to reshoot, there was a period... We had like a small window to do it. But because we had to reshoot, there was about 2 minutes of 80 people just staring at nothing while they waited for me to come in.
Right. So that's pressure, isn't it? Because normally what you'd like is a compere.
Yeah.
But what you had instead of a compere is you had them waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
already they're against me.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Outnumbered day to day, spaced out. The likely lads you were fighting, which I placed doubt. Was it a bond through the wonder years? Still my entourage, stay large through these abundant fears. Been a sinner lately, not ideal, don't hate me. Want chicks to date me that don't look like dinner ladies. You a fad, G. Can't test my family and you gladly. We some men behaving badly. Concerns me not...
So the rap was sitcom titles, kind of in the bars. There's like 60 sitcom titles, like... You know, happiness, whatever. I can't remember the ones I did. There's loads.
Interested in the young ones and kiss grass. You ain't near to this. You're a trash, get no clearances, no sales. You just keeping up appearances. But will and grace, I instill the pace. My home improvement plans are still in place. I'm not an animal, an angry kid. Yes, phone jackers from Crapton Villas affected my happiness. Fuck the office.
And then the idea was to go from that straight on stage and then do stand up about rap. So it was like...
Oh, so you're flipping it.
Yeah, but I'd never do it again. It was deeply
traumatic. You didn't enjoy it?
Oh, it was the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Right. It's good, though. It's great.
It's wicked, man.
Mm.
What I want to ask you about, before we start asking about what your favourite shit is, Vanessa Feltz.
Oh, Feltzing, yeah.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? So you did the track.
I did a tune called Everyone's Vanessa Feltzing, and I kind of wanted to...
We'll play that, won't we, Ruud?
Yeah, that'll go straight in. All right, it's probably playing as we speak.
Hello, it's not good lighting, but I'm here. I'm starstruck, I'm trembling. The Jester Jacobs, the greatest Jewish rapper ever invented.
28 by now, should be killing the game. Shows free clothes, chill on a coast, villa in Spain. But no, still drop the off-base flows. Really shop away throws, make no mistake. No, but like
the idea of felting is kind of, it can be a positive or a negative thing. In my eyes, it's kind of like being all you can be, given your current circumstances. So right. Vanessa Feltz, for example, you know, she does her thing. And as a result, she's got a, you know, a breakfast show on Radio 2. She's Feltzing. She's, you know, she's making the best of what she has.
Right.
So I put the track out, and then I got a call from Feltz's people, and then I had to go on the radio and talk to her. And I thought maybe she was all up for the trap remix.
Right.
It kind of didn't gather too much steam. I guess that's kind of a catalyst of choosing...
What was she like?
...a breakfast broadcaster to write a song about rather than someone kind of in the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Feltz is lovely. She's a class act, man.
She does seem it.
I was expecting you to ask a question there. That's why I left the pause. I opened up for you there. Mate, as a tap-in, follow-up question.
I mean, did you hear me talking to her? Because I was kind of terrified, because I was really worried I'd say the wrong thing. Because I was in Feltz Towers, it was all popping off. Like,
well, she made a big deal about how they'd had to censor the track or something before they played it on the thing, didn't she? I want to ask about the video, because you had loads of people wearing Feltz masks.
Yeah.
And then you have people that are sort of bemused as you walk past them or whatever. There was like a woman that sort of looked like she was sort of starting on you, or she was just sort of getting in your way. And you did that really cool thing of just ignoring.
Yeah.
I thought it was very stylish. I found it arousing. I felt attracted to you.
I'm glad you found it stylish. At the time, I was really gutted because we're trying to go for like the one take sort of thing.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, this woman just popped up. She was absolutely off her trolley.
Yeah.
And I had kind of 30 Feltzes dancing behind me. I was like the Pied Piper of Feltzes. It was all going really well. And then she just appeared out of nowhere. She goes, "What the fuck is this?" And then then she's in my face. Yeah. And then a director kind of off camera kind of goes, we're filming, trying to shut her up. And then it just encouraged her. And then she sort of started saying, I don't care.
Jesus Christ.
It's like something out of a nightmare. Yeah. And I thought, you might as well keep it in.
Cause it wasn't Vanessa Feltz, was it?
It wasn't. She kind of did resemble her a bit. And I think, you know, that's me Feltzing live on camera. So I think it's a great example of what I'm trying to get across. You can try and do your thing and someone is going to...
And is that kind of gone... That's kind of gone big, that track, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's gone big.
It's gone big.
That's the thing.
Viral.
I
would have liked it to have gone bigger, but I think, you know... Vanessa Feltz, she isn't, I mean, as much as I'd like her to be, she's not really a tastemaker for the youth market.
No.
That was my flaw.
You're not suddenly on the road to stardom because Feltz has given you the thumbs up.
That's the thing. You know, I was a bit naive to think that once I get the Feltz bring in, it's just going to be Bitches and Cristal all the way.
Were you hoping for a Fats and Small collab? Well, off the back of the Feltz.
Would have been nice. Would have been nice.
Hey, man, what's your favourite hip-hop album?
Right, so, Joe, what is... your favourite hip-hop album?
What is my favourite?
Now, I know it's a difficult question to answer.
I'll tell you what, obviously, I'll go with a classic choice. I'll go with 36 Chambers, first choice.
Okay.
Ghostface, catch the blast of a hype verse. My clock burst, leaving a hearse. I did worse. I come rough, tough like an elephant tusk. Your head rush, fly like Egyptian musk. Oh, shit, Wu-Tang Clan sparked the Wixen. However, I mastered a trick just like Nixon.
I don't think there will never be a better group better than Wu-Tang ever, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so Wu-Tang album, who's your favourite Wu-Tang MC?
It's tricky. I'd probably say the first person I was listening to would be Raekwon.
Raekwon?
Yeah, Raekwon. Ray was the original guy I was listening to, but I mean, I'm a big GZA fan as well. A GZA album would probably be in the top five as well.
Yeah.
He's a smart dude. The order of people I listened to, it sort of started with Ray, and I listened to a lot of Ghostface growing up.
I love Ghostface. Supreme Clientele.
Supreme Clientele.
Oh my God, what an album.
Man. Iron Man has Winter Wars, which is arguably one of my favourite Wu-Tang tracks ever.
A lot of people argue about that. Is that one of Joe's favourite tracks? There's a big argument that goes on. Is Winter Wars one of Joe Jacobs? Yeah, thank God.
It's official.
What else? I like that one of my first albums I ever heard was Return to the 36 Chambers.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great. ODB.
Brooklyn Zoo was... I liked some of that album. Mm. You know my favourite bit on it is when he did that noise.
Yeah.
He did that for ages, didn't he?
Yeah. I think I heard that the whole album was freestyled by him. I know that they...
No way.
I know GZA and RZA wrote his bars, but like... I don't know if it's that... I think it's the Meth album. RZA's studio got flooded. And he had to reproduce like the whole album for Meth. I heard that. But with ODB, I think. I mean, if you listen to it, it sounds like it's half of it's one take for everything. Huh? So back to the question, like that's one of my...
Oh, quick...
I prefer that one, but 36 Chambers is like one of the best records ever. So
okay, quick question for you, regards to Wu-Tang. Master Killer.
He's ill.
Dude, are you shitting me right now?
He's like GZA light. GZA taught him how to rhyme.
He's like GZA shite, mate.
No.
I'm just off the top of the dome piece.
That's good. But I mean, he's got his moments. Like he's got a tune called Silverbacks off his album with GZA. That's up there, man. That's a
so
really
you like
good
him?
Tune. Yeah, he's good. I mean, we all know who the worst person in.
Go on.
I don't have to say it. Who do you think?
Say it.
You God.
Yeah. He did have an album. He did have an album, didn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't had it.
Hmm. Yeah. The thing about Wu-Tang is that they had the whole thing like about them, like one or two of them turning up to gigs in London. Just like people get excited and go, "I'm fucking going to see Wu-Tang," and then Method Man and his cousin would be there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like just.
I mean, that wouldn't be so bad. Meth wasn't at the latest UK shows, I think, and they were missing like Raekwon. I think they literally had about three of them.
So depressing. So, I mean, how annoying is it?
Yeah.
You turn up there.
Yeah, imagine you paid your money.
Imagine you paid your money, and you, God, and Master Killer were the only two that turned up.
It'd be interesting to see how many people were there at the end.
Anybody want to hear more from you, God? Nah, mate. This is some stuff from my solo record. Oh, Christ.
Some of my new stuff.
Some of my experimental you, God.
My rock album.
Man, I might get him on a track. It's probably about $10 of art.
Yeah,
he'll probably give you a book token to guess. I saw on Twitter Sadat X. Do you know Sadat X from the Brand Newbie?
He must be 60.
Yeah. He was like tweeting about if you wanted him to do a guest spot on one of your tracks.
Oh, wow.
And like put up his like email address to get in touch with him.
I just done a tune with Planet Asia.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
My friend, I'm making an album with my friend who's kind of more on it than me, and he sorted out everything and just said, be here to record it at this time, and I went, and I had to pretend like I kind of knew about Planet Asia. I don't really know too much about it, but it came out real nice. But it's really good to hear little old Joey from Boreham Wood coming on the mic just before Planet Asia from the West Side.
Yeah.
It's a real mix of styles there, but it works.
Did you get nervous?
No.
What did he
think? I didn't get nervous because it had been mailed to us.
It's very difficult to get nervous around a recording.
Yeah. But what I did do, because I obviously, given that I'm a comic as well, my natural inclination is to be an idiot in the studio and in all areas of music. But I found it really hard to not shout him out at the beginning by saying, you know, what's going on, Planet? Hello, Planet. Got my man Planet
it. Of the planets, you're my favourite.
Exactly.
Even more so than Diggable.
Exactly.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
So, yeah. I mean, it's interesting being a comedian after being a rapper, because sometimes when I do interviews or perform on stage, if I've been gigging too much, I approach it as a comedian rather than a rapper, because a rapper, you can't really conduct an interview properly with a rapper. They kind of give open-ended answers. They're not very specific. But as a comedian, you've got to be analytical and try and crack jokes all the time. There's less pressure on a rapper. They just have to go in and just go,
It's weird, isn't it? Because it's so eloquent on the record and then just sound like they can barely speak in a lot of the interviews, do you know what I mean?
That's part of the charm.
What was that?
Pardon?
What was that?
Rumage coming in with his little disses. Shut up, Rumage. No, joking. Okay, any other records, any other like sort of favourite albums you want to shout out?
I like...
Shout out. God, kill me, sorry.
Focus.
I like Dizzy Rascal's first album's pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Take That With Me. I like Roots Maneuver's stuff.
Yeah.
Take One of Them. I like the Streets album, the first ever Streets album. When I first heard that tune, Turn the Page, in my mum's living room, got a little chubby on.
Got a little chubby on?
Good tune.
Yeah.
Turn the page on the day, walk away. Cause there's sense in what I say. I'm 45th generation Roman. But I don't know them or care when I'm spitting. So return to your sitting position and listen, it's fitting. And I'm miles ahead and they chase me. Show your face on TV, then we'll see.
I met Mike Skinner once.
Oh, did he? What's he like?
Well, he didn't really chat to me because what had happened was I had just crashed and burned pretty badly out of a rap battle. Right. And he had seen it. And it was sort of the situation where I felt like, do you know the kid at school that nobody wanted to go near in case, like, you caught something off him?
Yeah.
That's basically what I was... That's what I was like after that battle.
He made you feel
toxic.
Like that.
Yeah, and so I sort of went and sort of... It's like I'd been humiliated in front of a crowd, and then you find out that somebody you really respect is also in the audience. It's almost like another defeat. Just another, like, little dig to the ribs.
Oh, did you ask him and check that he saw it?
I don't know if you saw... Yeah, I saw you, mate. Yeah. Keep walking. Dry your eyes, mate.
I met him at his... I met him at a book signing for his book, and I left work early to go see him, and I fucking love that guy. It was the first time I ever met him, and I was there kind of early, no one was there, and I sat at a table with him for a chat, and I don't really get starstruck, but I really was starstruck, and I think the reason is.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When he talks to you, it's like how he raps. So it's impossible to have a conversation with him because it's like...
You start nodding your head in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like everything he said was like a song. Yeah. He's got these big doe eyes. It's just getting
it's really
lost.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, exactly.
We're sitting in the shop doing a book signing like that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like
it's my favourite Streets tune.
Book signing? Yeah. Have you heard the remix? Yeah. Oh, mate, Waterstones. Waterstones remix? Yeah. Crazy.
Here's a little bit that you like to call. How did you get into hip-hop?
How did I get into hip-hop? I think it's the same way kind of most kids do. I was handed CDs by delinquent older people.
Right. Now, this doesn't sound how most people get into hip-hop, mate.
Oh, shit.
That is... You've described a grooming situation there. Wow. Some old men gave you some CDs.
They weren't old. They were older.
Oh, older, right.
Older.
Okay, sorry.
Old men who are really into hip-hop. Yeah. Like 80
years. Do you like rap music? 10 years ago.
What a sinister way to get into the hip-hop genre.
Instead of sweets.
So we've discussed that my song was actually targeted at about men.
Yeah. No, that was rumoured.
Now
said
I've
that.
Been groomed. Joe.
There's a theme.
Into hip-hop by older men.
That was Rumad said that, okay. The thing about the... And to be fair, you said that about the older men. But anyway, so...
No, I said men. No, I didn't say men. Hey, what are you doing?
You said an old...
You said a naked old man. You said a naked old man came up to you in the park and gave you a hip-hop CD. That's, can we play that back? That's exactly what you said.
We can play it back if you need to.
But he knew his stuff, is what I'm saying.
Right, okay.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
The first one I recall clearly was some of these really bad. I remember listening to Lil' Kim Hardcore. You ever heard that?
I've heard Crush On You.
Yeah.
Was that on that album?
Could be.
Yeah.
Was that our first album?
I think it was. Had a seductive cover, and I remember, because I was only but a boy, but the opening skit.
So what we called you?
Oh my god, Rumadge! Rumadge got to drop the bomb on that one!
It's insane!
Butter boy.
Hey, Butter boy, got a CD for you, Butter boy.
Come here, I've got another CD.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Anyway, so carry on. So you had Hardcore.
This wasn't how I thought this would be. But no, the first track of the Lil' Kim Hardcore album is like a skit, and it had sex noises.
Right.
I was like, I must have been like 10 when I first heard it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of sexy.
Arousing, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That was my introduction to hip hop. I guess that was it. There was
a skit.
Lil' Kim.
Sexy noises.
If Peter Piper pecked him, I bet you Biggie bust him. He probably tried to fuck him. I told him not to trust him. Lyrically, I dust him off like Fletch. Hit hard like sledgehammers. Bitch with that platinum brim.
Lil'
She's
Kim.
Still around.
I think
She's still
she,
around. She looks, by the way.
She had a load of
different.
Work.
She doesn't look good.
She looks different. Let's just say that.
She looks more Kim-like.
Yeah, she looks so Kim. She
Melon Kim.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. Kimchi? No? God, it's got to become the pun show. Jesus.
That opening skit was... I thought it was someone having sex, but then I listened to it back recently. It's actually a dude in a porn cinema having a wank, I think. So it used to turn me on, but probably now.
So you get... You're not doing yourself any favours here, buddy.
I know. That was the first one, but then I got put onto, I think, ODB, Return to 36 Chambers.
Yeah.
Followed that, and then I remember being given the Onyx album, Shut 'Em Down. That's a great album. Sticky Fingers. And also
Shut 'Em Down is their second.
Yeah. That's a great album.
First one was Back the Fuck Up.
Yeah.
Back the Fuck Up.
Back the Fuck Up.
One word that was, by the way.
Shut 'Em Down, start the violence. We wild and wild and swing rappers, body found, washed up on Coney Island. When I rolled up, the snigger heart slowed up. That killer froze up. When I pulled up, jumped out with the pump, I 32 shots and ducked out. Then I broke out. Left that cat for dead, his body smoked out. Cause in the fallout, that killers that kill me, kid, I'm going all out. Life's a bitch, fuck it. Got the gun, bust it. The gameplay, gotta play by the rules of your own kin. cannot be trusted.
I also had, I also got given loads of Cypress Hill stuff.
Cypress Hill, man.
First album, mate.
That was probably a fitting prelude to a heavy skunk addiction.
Rumage, you've just absolutely nailed it there. First album, amazing. Yeah. Better than Black Sunday.
Yeah.
Unless you think that it's first time Black Sunday.
No, no, no. It was just called Cypress Hill, wasn't it?
Yes.
Red cover.
That's
yeah.
not better than Black Sunday.
Dude, yeah, come on, dude. Much better. How I Could Just Kill a Man, Suck a Better Buck Down. Mm. Yeah? Black Sunday is a less than 45 minutes, I remember that album.
Mm.
Yeah? Less than 45 minutes. I remember because I put it onto a tape and it only filled one side.
Ooh, that's ruined his
And it was good, don't get me wrong, it was good, but it wasn't better than their first one. Their first one was great.
Well, I think, yeah, maybe. Maybe
right, but that's not the one I listened to. I think it was before my time. When did that come out? Like 85?
No.
Like 91. 85, Joe.
92.
Whenever one of your.
91, 92.
Why don't you ask one of your fucking old friends? They'll tell you. They'll tell you when it came out.
That's what he said.
Hey, bad boy.
Hey, bad boy. It's about to come out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. It's bullying, isn't it, basically?
It's not nice.
It's not nice at all.
Might write a song about it.
Don't, mate. Don't write a song about it.
It's beef.
You can stop.
We've got beef. Okay, you can't do any more.
If I wrote you a song, would you reply as a song? Are you done with it now? Pull you out of retirement.
That's a challenge.
If you wrote me a song, mate, I would do absolutely nothing. Because me replying...
Silence is golden.
...would be one of the biggest insults to both myself and the art of hip-hop.
No, I always think when someone does a diss record and then they never reply, that must be really annoying for the person who wrote the song. They've gone to all that effort, gone to the studio, written their little poem, booked the time, and then the other person just didn't even respond.
Well, do you not think that sometimes they used to like... People used to like going at people just to get some sort of... Do you remember when Tim Dog did Fuck Compton? Do you remember that song?
Vaguely.
So when NWA and like Snoop and everything were at their ultimate, their pinnacle of fame, Tim Dog, New York rapper, came out with this track, Fuck Compton. He came out with a song about Snoop called Bitch With A Perm.
Nice.
And like he just started like doing all this stuff. And he got so much popularity just because he's sort of doing this East Coast, sort of big up New York sort of thing.
All you suckers that riff from the West Coast, I'll diss and spray your ass like a roach. You think you're cool with your curls and your chains. I roll thick and you'll be yelling out raid. A hard brother that lives in New York. We're suckers are hard and we don't have to talk. Shut your mouth before we come out stomping. Hey yo, easy. Fuck Compton.
Controversial. I hope Tim Dog's not listening to this because I don't think it's that good. But he got some heat off the back of it. Went on to do a song with Apache Indian. Believe it or not. Tim Dog. There's a little fact for you, fact fans. Went on to do... Unbelievable, wasn't it? Song with bloody... What's happened is Tim Dog, after doing Fuck Compton and Bitch With A Perm, heard Boom Shakalak and thought, I need to collab with that dude. Let's make this happen. Let's get some magic going on. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever follow any like British... beef, because that's more interesting.
Like, God, who's
I'm trying to think of good diss records, and one of my favourites was when Lethal Bizzle went after Jammer and did a song called Bacon Dread. I called him like a pepperoni dread, which is very, you know, it's a strong.
Was that an insult of his dreads? Did he say his dreads look like pepperoni? Is that what he's getting?
He looked like a pepperoni with bacon dreads on top of them, I think.
So he actually looked like a pepperoni.
He was like, Bizzle, bacon dread.
Bacon dread!
Already, that's strong.
Yeah.
It's a strong opener.
Yeah, it's a strong opener.
Everyone went at Chipmunk.
Yeah, poor Chipmunk, mate.
Poor old Chipmunk.
He just seemed like such a nice dude. Do you not think?
Yeah.
Chipmunk, he wouldn't cause any problems. Just wanted to hang out with Alvin and Simon. Oh my God.
Simon? Was Simon one of the
Yes,
Chipmunks?
Alvin, Simon and Theodore.
Oh wow.
Chipmunk was alright.
No, they did. Like, he just did a song, he mentioned one thing and then everyone went ape shit, and then Skepta came in against Devilman again. You ever heard of Devilman?
No.
Oh man, Devilman. I love that guy. He's like, I like grime music a lot.
Yeah.
I love grime music and I like Birmingham grime. I think, apart from London, Birmingham have a really good sort of grime sound. And Devilman basically is he's just a deplorable man, but he makes fucking great music.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck off. I am the meat and greeter, hot like heater, vegetable eater, chipmunks on some side man ting, passenger seater, come like Skepta, lyrical repeater. Don't call out my name and I chat, say my name and I chat like say some feature.
And then he kind of like Skepta did a response to him where he said, Wagwan for certain man, thought this was a clash about music, all of a sudden devil man, you want a sperm on man, which I think is quite a good lyric.
Holy shit.
Because he mentioned ejaculating on chipmunk in one of his lines. I wish I was making this up.
You talked about ejaculating on chipmunk?
Yeah, yeah. He just kind of said it like in passing. And then
you can't say something like that in passing, can you?
I can't remember.
No, listen, man. I'm gonna. Can you get me a Diet Coke and a couple of sandwiches? By the way, I'm gonna.
I think he said something like, "I'm gonna turn on you. I'm gonna sperm on you." Very quickly, and then
right.
The average listener wouldn't even pick up on.
Yeah, I was gonna turn on him. He's gonna what?
Yeah,
Excuse me. Can you rewind that? What did he say? This after turn.
Yeah, to ejaculate on you.
If somebody
put the mic down and then actually.
If I was battling someone and said I'm gonna sperm on you, I'd go, "Do you know what, mate? You win. This is over. Yeah. We're done here. Well done." You've shown a level of commitment to this above and beyond anything I'm willing to do.
I think that's the
congratulations.
Point.
Congratulations. Do you listen to a lot of British hip hop? Because I used to listen to loads of it. I used to like all the old school. Is it I don't know if it's but like
Hijack,
Gunshot.
Oh yeah,
Black Twang.
Mm.
Yeah.
Black
Twang.
It's in a good place at the moment. There's lots of kind of good collabs with US people, like Skepta's kind of leading the way, but it never used to be the case. I used to like watching, you'd watch or listen to a radio interview or watch an interview of an American rapper, and then the interviewer, if they're British, would always ask the same question. They'd always say, "You checking for any sort of UK artists?" You ever see that?
And then they always catch them, they just go, "Yeah, man, I listen to a lot of that stuff over in." And they'll say, "Yeah, you know about like Dizzy or Wiley and them." And I'll go, "Yeah, he's doing his thing."
Yeah,
man.
Dizzy Wiley, I love that dude.
And say, "You ever heard of MC Silly Billy from South?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, Silly Billy, man. Looking to sign the motherfucker."
But no, it's actually incredible. Underground UK hip hop was—it used to be kind of a bit whack, but it's definitely stepped up. And like admitting to be a rapper, actually, no, that's never changed. You can never admit to being a rapper, really.
What's the response to you, like, when you tell people that you're a rapper?
It's a source of shame.
Do people do that cartoon thing when they go, "Oh, yo, Joe,
yeah,
what you know, bro?"
Every time,
yeah.
It's kind of, I don't even get into it, but it's kind of insulting because hip hop's fucking great and it's popular music as well.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why people do that. Yeah, it upsets me. You can tell I'm upset.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's changed in tone.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to, no one does it for any other sort of profession.
People do it for comedy though, don't they? And say,
"Tell us a joke."
Tell us a joke.
Yeah.
You should do a joke about this.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that like with hip hop, is sort of seen as like it's slightly seen as a joke music, I think, like in a way, like you know, hip hop's been around for a long time.
To the outsider,
it's been around for a long time. But people take the piss out of hip hop in the way that they don't, because there's this, you know, this 90s gangster rap that has sort of stuck as the image
into
people's psyche as the image of hip hop forever.
Yeah.
They've got that snapshot is now what everyone thinks about rap music. So when you talk about hip hop now, people go, "Oh yeah, bust a cap in your ass and all that shit." That's what they think it is. That's what forever people. I don't know when that's going to stop.
Yeah.
But it's just
right here.
Yeah, let's end it now.
Oh, man, hip hop grapes.
Joe,
hello.
What's the worst thing about hip hop?
I guess the thing I don't like about it is promoting yourself, especially in the digital age.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a manager or anything. And so I still have to sell CDs, and it kind of, if you don't have that much of a following, it kind of removes the mystique. If you have to go on Facebook every few days and say, "Check my new shit, download it, buy it now," or tweet it and everything. It's like, I guess, like, here's an example. So you'll be on stage, you'll finish a set, and then you'll kind of do a speech at the end to the effect of, like, "This is what I do, this is my hustle, this means so much to me, I love the support. Yada yada yada. If you want to buy a mixtape or be by the toilet selling them," and then no one does.
Yeah.
That gets you down a bit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I've noticed people
they'll come over to you and say, like, big up. But they won't really buy a CD. And then you'll try and sell it. And then they'll say, no, I've got no money. And then they'll just go and buy a round for their mates. That's quite a depressing story.
There's a few comedians who do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I always think it's a weird, like, I mean, it must work sometimes.
I'm just giving up trying to sell it. If they, I can't, my sales technique is so appalling. In the end, I just give them a CD, usually.
Well, they probably know they can go and find it online.
Yeah, but it's like about supporting.
How much is your CD?
Well, my opening gambit might be £5.
Right.
And then they'll kind of go bullet time in their pockets.
Yeah.
Pulling out shrapnel, and then I'll say, how much you got? And they'll be like, oh, I got like £2.50. And I say, look, just give me that.
So dignified.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the point. So you're on stage, you're like, the man, I've had a fucking great set. And then it all just dissolves. My sales technique now is I'm going to try and make them feel sorry for me, which is what I've done recently.
How do you do that?
Well, I've got this new thing I'm developing because I saw a comedian do something similar and I love it. Basically, I'm buying a case. I've bought the case. And then you flip it up, and it's going to say, ye old Jester Jacobs shop, like with an E on the shop, you know. Like it'd be like CDs, £5, 2 for £7 or whatever. And then you have all the CDs there with your case. So you just flip it up, and if they want to buy it, they can. And you don't have to say, can you buy this? And then like the aesthetic of it is quite a pathetic sort of image, isn't it?
Right, so, this is a guy flipping up this case.
Yeah, he's walking around with a case full of his CDs.
He's got a little,
made a sign.
Little purse with change in it.
You know what I mean? So I think that's a strong look.
And have you seen sales go up since you...
No.
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 Well, I haven't finished it yet. I'm still doing it out of the pocket.
Can you buy this stuff online?
Yeah, it's jesterjacobs.bandcamp.com. Like when I sell something on that, that feels good.
Have you ever tried, you know, when you see those dudes selling or making you listen to tunes on the street?
Oxford Street. Yeah. Oxford Street is good for buying CDs.
Have you ever bought one from someone?
No, I haven't.
Did he have a good one? Why? He felt sorry for him, why. He had his little case.
He was quite intimidating.
That's a good start.
And also, I sort of thought he wouldn't leave me alone, so I thought £10 was worth it to sort of end the conversation.
Yeah, it's quicker.
And it was 2 for £10.
Mm.
1 for £5, 2 for £10, which I thought was a good deal.
Do you listen to them?
I listened to one of them. I thought it was all right.
Mm. That's how you guys met.
Mm. Oh!
Clever.
No, I thought it was good. I thought it was good. You sort of got to respect somebody that's doing it.
Yeah.
Selling CDs.
Pretty dedicated.
Okay, so do you find other rappers are supportive of like promoting you and stuff like that? Because as a comedian, I don't like promoting other comedians. I find it, you know, I don't really like supporting other acts. Mm.
I did see you do one, though, on Facebook.
Pardon? What did I do?
Did he tweet about someone's show?
Yeah, but that was probably because I was going to see them soon and I didn't want it to be awkward.
Mm.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I sort of like, I like others to fail. I sort of think that that's...
But that's why you're then sharing their event or whatever. To support that failure.
Yeah, like I think if this goes badly, I'll be able to see how badly it's gone because the event's on my page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for supporting people because I like to support people, but then it also can look like you're begging it a bit as well. You're trying to be extra chummy with people you don't know. I like to support something that's good.
But
again, it plays into that whole being elusive thing. In UK hip hop, and I've noticed with comedy, it's like, it seems to be the case that if you support me, I'll support you further down the line. Not necessarily if you're good or anything. Just
right, yeah.
It's very cliquey.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just hate everyone equally.
Well, the problem is, Joe, with supporting people that are good, is that they are good. Whereas what's better is to try and get those people to give up by not supporting them at all. That's how you survive. Do you know what I mean? You can't, if somebody's good, immediately I start to panic. And I think I'm not going to promote anything they do.
Yeah.
And hopefully...
Do you ever retweet praise? Because rappers do that. And that's...
Can I just say, for the record, I was joking, by the way.
God almighty. Anyway, I think retweeting praise, to me, is pointless. Because you're retweeting to people that already follow you. I mean, I don't understand. And it's such a weird thing to do. It's to go, oh, Rupert, I was just having a conversation over there.
Mm.
And that guy said I was really good. So I just thought I'd pass that on. Like, it's a weird thing to do, isn't it?
It is weird.
And I think if you're going to retweet praise, you should also retweet the other stuff that gets into me. That leaves me pretty low, I'm going to be honest with you.
That is the way to deal with that, though.
Yeah, but I don't know about this retweeting. Sometimes I've seen like really big acts they retweet an insult and then it's like sicking the followers onto them. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, right, yeah, people going,
yeah.
I had it, mate. I had it with 50 Cent, right? So, 50 Cent, he was like, you know, when he brought out that little his power shots or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He did this thing where he said, "I'm going to feed 1 billion children in Africa," and I thought, "Oh my god, 50 Cent is like, holy shit!" And then I read the thing, and it's like, for every power shot that you buy, I'll donate 15 cents of the $2 or whatever it costs to Africa, and that apparently that's like the equivalent of a meal. That's what he's calling it, right?
Why didn't he do 50 Cent instead of? What do you, what
Mr. Is, Trigger?
Well, yeah. because Rupert, it's a very expensive way of doing a pump.
Yeah,
isn't it? If it's that, to commit to that, I'll give you 50 Cent. Well, 50, it's cut your profit margin by about 75%. Yeah, but I don't care. I know 50 Cent. So that's what I'm going to do.
I got a good 50 Cent story. I my old job, was one of the clients was Argos.
Yeah.
It's a marketing place I work for. And 50 Cent was selling his headphones for Argos. And his contract stipulated that he had to fly to Argos headquarters in Milton Keynes.
This is true.
This is true. This is a brilliant story, right? So 50 Cent was contractually obliged by Argos to fly to Milton Keynes to do a piece to camera about his headphones, his SMS audio headphones.
Right? Yeah.
And the day before, there was an email going around the office, and it said, "Does anyone want to go to Milton Keynes to interview 50 Cent for Argos?" And obviously, I said yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's quite...
Well, there are a lot of people saying yes.
No, I mean, I think people were quite intimidated by Milton Keynes and 50 Cent.
Yeah, that's a heady brew, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But I was like, I can't miss this. I have to do this. So the next morning, I got on a train to Milton Keynes and started writing my questions for 50 Cent. And I got to Milton Keynes and it was just the driest, most miserable building you could ever imagine. It was just awful. And I was thinking, there's no way.
50 Cent ain't going to be here.
He's not going to be here, right? And I go in the door and I say, "I'm here for 50 Cent. Right? I did. And there's kind of this aging bloke. He just goes, "Oh yeah, follow me, mate." He led me down this labyrinth of hallways.
"Come on, butter boy. Let's go."
"I've got a 50 Cent CD for you. You'll love him."
So he led me down in these hallways, and I get to this tiny office, like this tiny room, and I look through the door. There's fucking 50 Cent sitting there by himself.
On his own as well.
On his own.
Oh, gosh, in office.
On his own. And so I go in, I sit down, and it's...
Hold on, how does it... Paint the picture for me. What kind of chair is it? How does he look?
What's like a little office chair, like a miserable looking chair.
Yeah.
What was he wearing?
It looked like a FBI interrogation room. It was tiny. What was he wearing? He looked pretty smart.
Hmm.
Very clean, man. It'd
be funny if he's wearing an Argos top.
A little bag.
Yeah. 50. My name is 50.
So I go sit down. I sit down opposite 50, and it's one of those things that I think 50 Cent, he's got to be the most famous person I've ever met. I mean, that guy's like pretty iconic. And it's one of those things where my brain is telling me, you can't really register this now. Just bank this and think about it later. But for now, you just got to be professional and interview 50 Cent in Argos.
This is to me, an amazing opportunity, but also terrible, because you're meeting 50 Cent, but you have to interview him about Argos, don't you?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I wanted to give him a CD, but I mean, that's never going to lead to anything.
Did you mention that you're a rapper?
Nah, but quite a good ending.
Go on.
But basically, so I'm sitting opposite 50 Cent, and he's nervous. I said, "You're right, 50. And he goes, "Can't do a good accent." But he goes, "Joel, how long have you been the director for this?" And I said, 50, I'm not going to lie, probably about a few hours now. And this is the funniest thing. He looks at me with fear in his eyes and he goes, "I'm scared, man." That's what he said. He was scared. This is a man who's been shot 9 times.
Yeah.
He went to prison for 7 years. He was scared of Argos employees and what he had to do for them.
Great.
Oh my God.
So I said, "Don't be scared, man. It's going to be fine. Let's run over the questions together," which we did. We had a little role play.
Yeah.
And then we went out to the kind of the main entrance, which was where we were doing the piece to camera. And then he was good, man. But the one thing that he couldn't do was say the word Argos.
You mean that was against his religious beliefs, or no, he just couldn't physically say it?
There was a bit of a crowd drawing naturally to see 50 Cent in Milton Keynes. It's a big deal. And I had the camera on him. I said, right, you know what you got to say? And he's like, yeah, yeah. So he goes, I'm 50 Cent, and you can purchase my SMS audio equipment from Argos. I said, 50, that was good. That was good. It was good. It was a good take, 50. Just one thing. Just one small thing. It's actually Argos. Goss.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm 50 Cent. You can purchase my SMS audio equipment from Argos. And I think we just...
Was it one of you going, it's been 9 times now. Who's going to tell this guy? Yeah. As they say, Argos again.
We just did it word by word.
Oh, mate.
No.
Did you get him to do all the syllables and just did it together after?
No, we got there in the end, but like I knew I had to get a memory of it, so I... There's a photo on my Instagram of me and 50, and I'd kind of, before I leave, I just said, can I just get one picture, mate? And he goes, yeah, sure. And I just did a West Side, next 50 Cent, one of the most famous East Side rappers. So I kind of...
Did he clock it?
No.
No.
I pretended to a lot of people I was doing a collaboration album with him, but I don't think they believed me.
Okay, Joe Jacobs, how have you enjoyed your time on... I'll be honest with you, I felt like you got a little bit upset with some of Rue Madge's sort of he's been a bit piss-taking, disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah, there were a few jibes there. Yeah.
Not just for me, though.
Yeah, it's both here.
It was a team effort.
I don't think I did as much as you did.
Well, time will tell.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify, I wasn't groomed.
No.
I was never groomed by any sort of hip-hop purist who's older. That didn't happen.
What did you think of Rue Madge? Because you listened to the last one, didn't you?
I did.
What did you think of Rue Madge sort of asking questions and sort of piping up a bit more? How did you feel? Did you think that was good? Or?
I mean, in theory, I would have enjoyed it if I was listening, but because they were mostly digs at me.
Yeah,
sort of
exactly.
My sexuality and my credibility.
Yeah, correct. And he's got the sort of face where you don't think he's going to do that, and then all of a sudden he just drops a bomb, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was an ambush.
Yeah, out of order, Rue Madge.
I'd like to apologise to both of you.
Thank you.
Apology accepted?
I guess so. What are you apologising for?
For being what he just said.
Okay, listen, Joe, I'm going to say this to you, mate. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
A wicked 50 Cent story as well. Mm. But even without the 50 Cent story, you would have been an incredible guest. Add the 50 Cent story. Holy shit, bruv.
Better than Mark Smith.
What is wrong with you? No, not better than Mark Smith. Different. What is wrong with you today?
Tired.
You liked Mark. You said he's brilliant.
I did like him. He seemed like
Why
a nice
would you
guy.
Just throw that in there like that?
You're going to insult me on the next episode. No,
yeah, no. I bet he will, mate. I'll let you know.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Right, Joe, tell us, how do we get involved in purchasing your music, seeing you do comedy, whatever?
I'm all over the internet. You can go on youtube.com/JesterJacobs. You can go on Twitter/JesterJacobs. You can buy stuff. You can give me your money at jesterjacobs.bandcamp.com. That's probably about it, really, for now. I'll keep it to three.
It has been a genuine pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
No worries, man.
Cheers very much.
Thanks.
Love you.
You too.